wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Mine is a hard life. Why is that? Are these your words? And do you add, I have no peace of mind or heart. Life is a burden. All I do brings a moan. For me to try to be happy is such a sham. I get sick in my own hypocrisy. Such a person is putting into words the inward condition of multitudes of people the world around. It is this painful emptiness that drives so many to try liquor or drugs or lust, and some take the fatal leap to suicide. They are all running away, and as they run, they grab at anything that can give them a passing thrill, while it ends with another moan of disgust and despair. How long can humans, whether young or old, endure such a wretched existence? Such a condition is such a general plague to us humans that Jesus Christ described it in his parable, saying, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Observe, that young man had money, plenty of it. His purse was full, but his life was empty of peace, joy, or soul rest. Maybe you once thought that if you fell heir to a fortune, your life would be happy. The richest man that ever lived was King Solomon, but he moaned all his vanity and vexation of spirit. Money cannot buy a life of real heart contentment. That young man became desperate for thrills as he devoured his father's substance with harlots. Not only was his money running out, but he was going from bad to worse, down, 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 into the very gutter of shame. Has ever a human, whether young or old, whether rich or poor, found a life of peace and joy in the gutter of shame, or in a beer can, or a whiskey bottle, or in going on drugs? The love of money, or liquor, or lust, or drugs, or all of them together, leaves all those who travel those roads pitiful derelicts. Their hand that reached for such was suddenly handcuffed, and they found themselves chained, hooked, and enslaved. Sin had mastered them, and now they can only moan their wretched plight. Yes, they did find that theirs is a hard life. But what makes one feel the pinch, the hurt of such a hard life? My task then is to show you three causes for your distress and to direct you to the true and certain answer to your problem. So hear me good. You wonder why your life is so hard and miserable. Heaven answers, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That means you're like a fool kicking against a lot of ice picks, destroying yourself. So heaven speaks again. Thou hast destroyed thyself. Do you plead guilty as you see your life to be useless to yourself and to others? God never made anyone to live that way. What are these pricks? First, God has given you a conscience, and every sin you enact, your conscience rebels and charges you with your inexcusable wickedness, saying, you didn't have to do that. You know better than to live that way. God is going to bring you into judgment for that one day. You live just like those wicked people God will cast into hellfire. Your conscience really gives you a fit. You react, you old conscience, I wish I could grab you by the throat and shut you up. But conscience answers, I'm here now. We'll be by your side every day you live. And when you go into the great hereafter, I'll be there to meet you. God gave me to be at your side forever. Prick number two is your memory. It gangs up with your conscience and reminds you of those early years of boyhood or girlhood. Those were days when the glee of youth put a spring in your step and a smile on your face with a shout of joy in your mouth. But what happened? Memory demands your answer, and memory knows when you're telling the truth. What happened? You set out to try it once, and you joined the crowd to forget God and have a big time. First a slip, then a slide, then faster and faster you went down, down, down. God in mercy would stop you saying, remember from whence thou art fallen and repent, or else. You remember those good old days of youth, you wish for their delights again. And in your plight you cry out, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me? At this point, prick number three, the sharpest and deepest of all, takes over. The Holy Spirit convicts you of your sin against God, not just in destroying yourself and being useless to your fellow men, but your sin against God. God has been good to you, but instead of you glorifying and thanking God, you wasted all God gave you on your riotous and ungodly living, so that down, down, down you went and finally landed in the hog pen. In your desperate emptiness, you try to live on hog's wheel, as Jesus Christ described every prodigal from God. How could any human be happy in a hog pen, and he's will? That is indeed a hard life, a miserable existence, perishing with hunger. And for a future, those hogs would chop the flesh off your bones and the buzzards mop up the rest, and your soul would go to hellfire to be tormented in those flames forever. All this and more the Holy Spirit pricks you with. It is divine revelation. No argument can tone it down. You must face it. No wonder you're miserable, even to despair, with first, the memory of the past to answer to God for it. Second, and the voice of your conscience as condemning you as inexcusable. Third, and the horror of the future that seems even now to bounce on you at any moment. All that's enough to drive a person crazy, as man describes himself. Just one more warning. Will church and religion be the answer? Where Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle of Jesus Christ, to answer this, he would declare how, as a young man, he loved his religion, the only right religion of his day, the Jews' religion. He gave up his job to sit at the feet of a great teacher of his religion, and he became so dominated by his religion, he traveled to distant cities to stamp out and to kill any who were against his religion. Was he happy and contented? Far from it. His conscience smote him with its pricks. The memory of the deaths of those godly saints he killed haunted him. He was wretched. He drove faster and faster to try and silence his conscience and to subdue his heaving breast. On just such a journey, he was stopped by a glorious light from heaven, and the Lord Jesus called him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That proud religious young man was subdued, and in submission he answered, who art thou, Lord? To hear, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Instantly and eternally, that young man was saved, changed, and entered a new life to glorify God, to be a blessing to all who knew him, and to be an example of what Jesus Christ can do for those who are living that hard life. So don't turn to religion or to church. Such can no more meet your need than can money or mirth. The answer to your distressing need is a person. You need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ by a face-to-face and a heart-to-heart contact with that one whom Paul met that day. That man in the glory had been on earth, living that marvelous life for God and men. Then he went to Calvary's cross to die for our sins, to save us from what had ruined us, our sins. There he offered to God the sacrifice of himself, his own precious blood, by virtue of which the guilt and stain of our sins could be removed, and we could be brought to God, to be made his children, and one day to go to his home in heaven. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost ones, the sinners whom he called to repent. Without Christ, you are what you are, but in Christ Jesus, all will be yours. Note. Now, if you resent being classed with the lowdowns, it was our Lord Jesus who declared that every human who leaves God out of his life is living a beastly life. Animals have no sensibility of God. And it is only when you so confess yourself that you can be included in God's salvation, for Christ died for the ungodly. This is God's lifeline thrown to those who, like the prodigal son, confess to their sin and cast themselves on God's mercy. Lay hold on that lifeline. Christ died for the ungodly. How is this done? You must do this. Get alone with God. Wait quietly in his presence. Then just tell him all the truth. Confess your ungodly self-will and defiance of him and how you passed by his son Jesus to join up with the world that crucified him. Then beg God to show you mercy. Not that you deserve it, but for Jesus' sake, for he died for the ungodly. Then call on the Lord Jesus to save you and tell him, Lord Jesus, I now trust you to save me and change me to live for God. I surrender myself to thee to obey thee as my Lord. I thank thee that thou hast loved me and hast died for me, the ungodly sinner. Then God will put his Holy Spirit in you, and he will lead you by day and by night into a life of serving God and your fellow men. No longer will yours be a wasted, useless life, but it will be such a blessing to those who know you. At your death, they will thank God for you. And instead of inward misery, your life will be so eventful that every day will be sweeter than the day before. You will realize that all you now are, you owe to the Lord Jesus Christ. You will love him as your Savior. You will serve him as your Lord and Master. And you will worship and adore him as your God. Your heart will be so full of praise to God. Your mouth will open to tell the world that you have found the answer to all human need in life, in death, and in eternity. And that answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.